This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I would like to greet everyone, every person that has made it here or his business to come to this service today. Also, the pastor that has invited me, Heinrich. It's not an easy task to talk about what you do, about what is a lifestyle to you. You end up not knowing where to start and how to end, because it is a journey that happens. It just happens automatically. But after I received the invitation, I asked the Lord, please package for me nicely my speech so that I can be able to touch some souls, because it's all about touching souls. So I first looked at Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And I realized that he is a call away. He's not far. It says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call me and I will answer. And I will tell you in my answer, I will tell you deep secrets. And I was like, who doesn't want to know the deep secrets of the Lord? I want to know the deep secrets of the Lord. So, on that note, let me just take 1 minute and introduce myself. I'm born in Cape Town about 62 years ago in Claremont. I hear from my mom that year was the Lord, the year that the Lord touched her life when she was 8 months pregnant of me. And I grew up in a home where if I have a headache, daddy or mommy, I have a headache, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. And that's it. No Panado, no nothing. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. So I grew up in that lifestyle, and I started to get crazy when I got into teenage, and I did all sorts of things that were not pleasing the parents. Then I got married to a pastor of Baptist, National Baptist Church, who knew nothing about salvation, but he knew the church and he knew God. And I had a task of introducing salvation to him. Then that's when my serious prayer life started. It was to pray for my partner. It was to fast for him so that he may come to understand the salvation of Christ and what is in the salvation. Not just to know the salvation, but what does salvation contain? It was 7 difficult years to tell a pastor or a reverend that you need to be saved. Someone who doesn't understand, he knows God, he knows he can preach, he knows the Bible, but he hasn't met salvation. It took me 7.5 years. I asked an old lady, Mother Pet, but she's no more, this is my secret with you, Mama Pet. Let us pray for, he is our pastor, but let us pray, let us take him to the Lord to come to the salvation of Christ. He was not sinning or doing anything, but he hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal savior. So one day, we were on the fourth day of our fast and pray, and dry fast, like starving ourselves. And I just asked him, do you mind to come to Jesus to receive the salvation? He went on his knees in front of me. It's so nice because he's not here. I can talk about him. No man would like to hear that, I mean, being told to other people. He raised up his hands and I led him to Christ. And that was the day that I said, oh, wonderful, God answers my prayers. So now the next step would be baptismal. Took me another month. And then I asked him one morning when he was in a good mood, do you mind to be baptized? He said, anything. And it happened. Amen. So that showed me that if you pray earnestly, eventually results will come. If you pray tirelessly, Jesus or God will answer your prayers. So I looked this morning at Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. It reads, verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It's an answer. I mean, it's a question. Sorry. This widow, for me, what was pushing her is faith. You cannot be an effective prayer or intercessor or prayer warrior if you don't have faith. Faith is the key. And I will get to some events that the Lord has been coming forth and proving to me that if you have faith, I will do it. But I grew up with everything that I used to be involved in, that I'm still involved in. I want to see outcomes. I want to see results. Don't tell me about the problem. Tell me about the result. I mean, about the answers. I need answers. I don't need problems. I can identify the problem, but there must be an answer for any and every problem. So this has activated my life prayer. That my mom was an intercessor. We used to accompany her. She belongs to the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. We used to accompany her because she's going to intercede with some women in retreat. And we will wait. And I would look at the intercessors and say, I can never be an intercessor. Because these people are praying fervently. They don't stop and they pray for a long time. This is not me. This is not me. And they look so serious when they pray. This is not me. Least I knew, on the fourth year that we used to take my mom every month to go and gather with the intercessors in retreat, on the fourth year, there was a lady from US who was visiting their intercession group, and she came to me and she said to me, I anoint you to be an intercessor in the name of Jesus. And I was like, sure, this is too much. Anyway, after that, my life continued. The prayer life continued. Every morning at 3 a.m., someone would wake me up and I would look and there's no one. Then I would know it's prayer time. 3 a.m., and I don't sleep after that because I sit down and I talk to the Father as if he is in front of me. And I tell him, Daddy, this is what is happening in this world, and it doesn't make me happy. It troubles me. How can I be out of this troubled heart? How can we solve it together? And he would give me answers. He would give me solutions. Not in a hard way, not in a, well, if there is a reason for tears, I would cry to my father. If there is a reason for laughter, I would laugh with my daddy. You know, I know my mom used to work for some people, and we used to go to my mother's work. She was doing domestic work, and this young girl, Martine, she used to say, talk alone. She used to talk alone. You know, have you seen that young children talking alone, maybe playing alone, and just talking on their own, talking. And one day I asked her, Martine, whom are you speaking to? Esmeralda, my friend. And I said, where is Esmeralda? She's here. So the Lord became my father, became my friend, that I don't mind if I don't see him, but I will talk to him. And I know he is here. And I believe he is here. I just continue talking to my father. So in 2012, I must cut there because there's long stories here. In 2012, in my sleep, in fact, it was 2011, New Year's Eve, the Lord said to me, I want you to gather the church in a stadium in Khayelitsha. And I said, stadium, gather the church. Where do I start? I'm not even known by these pastors. Then for a couple of months, I dodged this request. Each time I pray around the request, and I pray other things, and I bring all my requests to the Lord. In September, I was taken in a vision, and this tall person stood next to me in an airplane, in a flight, in a vision. And this tall man said to me, if you don't do it, you will not enter into 2012. And I woke up. And immediately in my spirit, although the man did not tell me what is it, it came that I have to call the church of Khayelitsha. Then my journey started. Both of us, we unemployed, me and my husband. We don't have a cent. We don't have nothing. Then I wake him up and I say to him, will you please take me to Cape Town? I want to go to the civic center. Tandy, there's no petrol. Then I said, please put the key in the ignition. Start the car. Let's go. We go. We arrive at the civic center. I go straight to the security guards. I'm coming to see the mayor of this city. Yo, have you got an appointment? No, I don't have an appointment. I'm coming to see the mayor of this city. I was taken into the mayor's office. And by the grace, she was present. I explained that I must have a stadium. I must call the church. I must call the people of this city into a stadium. This is what the Lord says. I know I look mad to you, but this is what the Lord says. And she kept on, you know, making an appointment and saying, go to the events department. I said, I don't have money. It's not for money. I've got nothing. But the Lord sends me to do this. Funny. All right, like the widow. And one day she said to me, it was about 2 weeks before the date. The date was supposed to be the 12th of the 12th month in 2012. And the church of Khayelitsha must give 12 hours of adoration to the Lord. No one, even myself, I must not be seen. People must just adore him. All right. She eventually said to me, fine, I will have to take out of my budget, my personal budget, to book you a stadium. Thank you very much. And I left. So I was supposed to have gotten a letter. The person that was supposed, the official that was supposed to give me a letter, got involved in an accident on N1 from PAL on the day that I was supposed to get a letter. There's a list of requirements, ablution, safety, whatever. But that time, all I knew, there's to be a marquee in the center of the stadium, a tent in all the four corners, and it was explained for me what would be the tents for. For kids, for sanctuary, for the kids, it's the Sunday school, and I was told, the old Sunday school that you were taught, the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing else, that must happen in that tent. So I knew and I saw everything. 4 days before, I went to a pastor that I was not connecting well with him when he preaches on the radio. But early in the morning when I was asking the Lord, now what do I do? People are going to laugh at me because I've told some people about this. Was it really you or was it my imagination or my ego? Talk to me. You are my father. And he said to me, the plans I have for you, Jeremiah again, 29, the plans I have for you. Then I said, all right, you have plans for me. So I was keeping on planning for you. All right, download the plans. What plans do you have for me? He directed me to go to that pastor and only to find out this pastor's church has got that marquee, has got some rooms in the corners, and everything, the colors, the drape, and everything. On the 12th of the 12th month in 2012, it's very hot. It's hot like today or even worse than today. I mean, it's December. There is not even a bottle of water. I don't have. All I know, there will be 12 hours of adoration. He didn't speak to me about food, and he just said, adore me. As we were walking into the venue, coming from a certain a point where we gathered and we were walking and singing, oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Come, let us adore him. When we were walking in, I was reminded, you don't have water. Everybody was looking at me because I said, just leave me alone. And I could know that was not my father speaking. It was another voice of distraction. It wanted to, you know, to divert my mind, and I must wonder and think about things that don't really matter. So we started, we have the 12 hours of adoration. I think 2 hours later when we had started, everyone, I had pastors from Engriekerk, Milnerton, Hout Bay. I don't know who invited all these people. There were buses with youth from Durbanville and with T-shirts, Jesus save us all. It just came together like even today, it can only be God. So after that, I continued to praise God. I continued to praise God and do and finding his voice and saying, I want to be able to discern when it's you who is speaking or when it's many other voices. Because I only want to hear your voice. And I will only be moved by your voice. I will only be moved by your voice. I will not be moved by many voices. I refuse to be moved by many voices. Just one part that I forget. I grew up with a hydatid liver disease. Some people may know who are in the medical field, with a growth under my liver. It was like a soccer ball size. It had a tapeworm inside. The doctors at the Red Cross Children's Hospital, they said, I was fortunate. Had it bursted, that worm should have come up my spine. come to my brain. I don't know if you've noticed those kids that are very hyper-touching, and they've got, some of them have got the tapeworm in the brain. So I should have had that, but the Lord came for me. My mom was wise enough, and I was told it's incurative, it's incurable. I'll have to live with it for the rest of my life. After the fifth cut from this end to this end of my stomach, I said, now, Lord, I am tired of this. I am tired of being cut every day. Now I come to you. Please perform this operation. When I went for, I was going for admission, and then a certain Professor Krichler, he just tested before he admitted me at Groteski Hospital, and he said, I don't see it. I see some fluid between the diaphragm and the liver. We will do a local anesthetic and we will just suck that water out and take it to the lab and see what's happening. The results came back. No, it's not hydatid liver disease. I was cured. I was healed till today. He is our healer. Only if we come to him. Then continuing with prayer, I had, the Lord sent me, I was sitting there today and trying to find out how did I connect with an old man, Ray Wilson. He comes from this area. He used to come to my house every morning and knock at my front door. Mama, where must I take you to today? And it became, where are you praying today? Sure. And he would sit or make himself a cup of coffee in my kitchen and wait for me when I'm getting ready. And I asked Father Ray, what pushes you out of Somerset West to come and usher me, drive me around? The anointing in you, Mama, I see it. And it was like, I was like, this man is about my dad's age. And now, Lord, you are assigning him to leave his wife and come to Khayelitsha. And what is this? He brought to my house the other day a young man, Kyle Driver. You might have come across that name. And Kyle had a vision to call the youth to a stadium in Newlands Rugby Stadium. And it was 2 months before that event, Youth Transformation Africa. And I listened and I thought, where do I fit in? I'm no youth. Yes, I know, if one is in Christ, you're a new creation. But then Kyle said, we need you, Mama. When I got to the first meeting, I looked at everyone for every department. Everything is covered here. And it's the youth and they know what they're doing. Then, when we're about to close the meeting, I said, I've been sitting here asking, what is my purpose? What is my function? But the Lord said to me, I must gather intercessors, an army of intercessors behind you, behind the vision. And he gave me the number. He said, I must gather 144 intercessors. And I must do it speedily in 2 months. We must intercede for each step that you take. So I started, I was all over the place from Usenberg, just gathering 144 intercessors. I have taken it upon myself that whatever, wherever he leads me, I will follow. Whatever he says I must do, like Mary at the wedding, she said, whatever he says you must do, do it. So I managed to get 144 intercessors. We were in the stadium praying there. I never knew, like eye to eye, Father Angus. And he was the speaker of the day. And we heard his sickly. And I was asking the intercessors, let's pray for Uncle Angus. And in the midst of these 2 months in the preparation, two signs have happened, significant things have happened. I went to a church in Mitchell's Plain to deliver the tickets to the pastor, and they had a guest from England, Sue Sinclair. And when I was turning around, Sue said, "Excuse me, I've brought something from England." And I asked the Lord, "Why should I bring this?" It's a small card with a message, the keys that were given to Peter. I think it's Matthew 16 or 18. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And she gave me that card. And she said, "The Lord says I must anoint you to be the gatekeeper of Western Cape." And I was like, okay. Coming from the old gospel of 1958, I don't even like to fall when someone touches me or pray for me. For me, it's too much drama. I can't take it. But that day, I was on the ground. And I never allowed anybody to anoint me. Even that lady, she just turned around and she anointed me. But for me to come to people and say, "Anoint me," I know before I was formed, He ordained me. He ordained me. So Sue anointed me and she prayed over my life. And I was like, wow, okay, what are you saying, Lord, to me? What is all this about? This is too much. It's few days before the event. On the eve of the 26th of April, 2015, because the event was on the 27th of April at Newlands, we were having a Thanksgiving service at the Anglican Church. Amen. At the Anglican Church. And a lady turned around and she said to me, "Here's a shawl. I'm giving it to you as an Elijah mantle." I don't know the lady. She is from Pretoria. I took the shawl and I said, "I don't know. I'm just a child. What is this, Father? Explain to me." But it was a long journey that the Lord had taken me to US after that. And I stayed in a house, and it was, I must say, Freemasonry house. I was not allowed to pray. I was not allowed, but I saw things in that house. But I came out safely. I came back. And lastly, the Lord is using me. I'll tell other stories some other time. Maybe you would want to ask, where are you at now? Now, with the group of intercessors, with the intercession that I started in 2011, it's old ladies, there are young ones that are coming and so forth. We are praying at police stations. I met with the cluster commander of Somerset, Strand, Khayelitsha. I think he's got 5 police stations. He was General Brandt at the time. We met due to some cases that people came to confess, and I knew it will not only need Jesus, it will need Jesus and the law. So we met through those cases, and he's opened the police stations for me. He said, "This war that we are in this season, it's not a carnal war. I can see, Mama Tandi. It's a spiritual war that we're dealing with." So I started to pray. I am stuck in the Khayelitsha police stations. I haven't come this side yet. But what the Lord did in 2020, this year, when I was asking him, "Lord, you know, I don't move not unless you move me." Then I started to set up a group in the Harare police station in Khayelitsha. I started to open a house of prayer in Dixon. And I see now the Lord is this year is really opening wide doors so that there can be prayer everywhere. And I said, "Lord, how do I get in each and every home to introduce prayer? Because in our homes, prayer is love. It's gone, dead." So the Lord said to me, look for someone who is going to be like a Dorcas, who is going to make cushions, table overlays, but with the Lord's Prayer. You print the Lord's Prayer and you sell those so that you can support this ministry. You sell those, but by selling those to each and every home, you will be introducing prayer, because whenever someone walks in, we'll read. We like to read things when we see. And when the person is reading, that person is praying. Yes, yesterday I didn't go to the Table Mountain. It's a global day of prayer, and there was 168 hours of prayer. There's lots of things that are happening. Prayer is happening everywhere in this city. I think the revival is about to break through. It's about to come, and it's about to start in Cape Town. All the negative things that we see. I was talking to someone. I went to his church because he found some Sangoma beads and whatever the story was. I took the group and we went there on Wednesday. And I said to the group, we're not going to focus on this. We're going to look at the cross. There is going to be snakes. The snakes were not moved at the desert. But the serpent that Moses was asked to lift high, and its name is Jesus. And all these snakes, if you don't look at them, they will not bite you. If you look at the one snake on the cross, that is my life of prayer. And I live prayer, I eat, I walk prayer, I believe I'm a moving altar with all the three state of nation address that the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, the Lord has led me to parliament. Thanks for Steve Swart, who is there. He opened doors, and for some reason, the Lord walks me on the red carpet. I sit on the speaker's seat. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus on the president's seat, and I say, Lord, deliver them from evil. Lord, this spirit is legion spirit, and I'm dealing with it now in the name of Jesus. There will be order in this house. There will be order in our parliament. There will be order in our nation. There will be order in our homes. I don't care whether the enemy has stolen our children. I don't care whether the enemy has stolen your marriage. I don't care whether the enemy has stolen whatever you have got. Prayer is the key. Prayer of faith and consistent prayer. Fervent prayers. God gets moved. He doesn't get moved by billions of friends. He doesn't get moved by beautiful faces. He doesn't get moved by big houses or small houses. He only moves. What moves him is prayer. What moves him is prayer. As we are praying as a group, the door is open for all, from all different churches. Everyone who's got wants to pray, who's got a zeal for prayer. So we don't say this is only for a certain or charismatic churches. We just call the community. Because the enemy doesn't attack a church, it attacks individuals. More especially mothers. They are in a serious attack. So we had this lady from the Anglican Church, and she was praying with us, a member of our group. And she told us one day, please pray for my son. My son, Monwabisi, his ways have changed. He comes home very late at night. She explained what she notices. And we said, all right, we'll take this to the Lord. The Lord knows the ins and outs. We will just take it to the Father. And we prayed. I think it was 2 months later, there was a knock at my front door. Come in. Here's a young man coming in. And he said, I've come to see you, Mama. I said, all right, my son, sit down. He sits. And my husband came out of the room. He said, can you ask Dada to leave? I said, all right, Dada. Then he started, he said, I want to share something with you. I'm the only person who knows about this. This is very confidential. I said to him, all right. He said, you know, there's a girl that everyone is looking for. She's missing. Everybody, I mean, her pictures are at ShopRite. She's on Facebook. That time I was not even on Facebook. And I said, all right, what about her? I'm the only one who knows. Where is she? Then I said, all right, where is she? We were coming out of a party. We went to sleep in my pondoki. And then the next morning, she wanted to leave. And I didn't allow her to leave. We fought, and she dropped, and she died. And I said, all right. And where is she now? I buried her body in an open plot next door my mom's house. It's a shallow grave, and I'm the only one who knows about it. And I said, okay. And now, what do you want me to do about it? Please, I want you to pray for me, because last night, I clapped my mom. We were not agreeing on some things. Then I clapped my mom, and I feel that this is now getting at me, what I did. So please pray for me. I said, okay, my son, before we pray, I will pray for you, and you will tell me, what do you want me to tell God about this? Because I don't just pray. I don't pray amiss. But before we pray, your secret is not safe with me. It's not safe with me. Please, oh lady, please keep it, because I don't want, I've got a future ahead. Then I said to him, what do you want me to tell the Lord? No, I must stop being angry. I must stop beating my mother. And so I said, okay, Lord, this is what Monwabisi is asking you to do for him. So please do it for him. Stop his anger, but lead him to the path of righteousness. Lead him to the path of truth. He's got a good heart. The fact that his heart could not contain this, he is a good man. So after we prayed, I told him, I said, I will share this with the police. No, 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 old lady. Then I said, okay, goodbye. He thought I was joking. He left. I phoned Ray Wilson. And I said, Father Ray, you remember you said to me there's a captain of the police that wanted us to pray for a missing girl. Yes, Mama. Then I said, there's something very serious. I need the police now. That's how I got to meet General Brandt. He brought General Brandt to my house, and I explained to them. We went down to the police station, the investigating officer, the commanders of all the police stations gathered, and they said to me, phone him and call him. I said, no, 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 no. You, General Brandt, with your white man accent, go next door to the hospital and say you are a doctor, you are with his mother. He must come. So he came and he got arrested. Following day, in fact, 2 days later, we went to the spot to exhume, and the body was there. It was already decomposed. And he got arrested. He's serving 15 years. And when his mother visits him, he says to his mother, you know, thank you for leading me to be arrested, because I know for sure I could have been dead by now. And he has met salvation in prison. I went to Message Trust. They do prison ministry. I spoke to Anya and I said, there's this name. Please lead this young man to Christ. Please make sure that he has met the Lord and he will come out a saved man. And that is the story you wanted me to share. The other day, the Lord said to me, go to the police station. Ask for the bus of the police to take you around Khayelitsha. Because I've been praying at the gates of the city. I've been praying at St. Lawrence Pass on top of the mountain and praying over this city. And the Lord said to me, but the gates of Khayelitsha. So I asked the police, because we are a big number of intercessors. We got in the bus. We went around the gates of Khayelitsha. 2 weeks later, I called prayer for the community. And I called the police, because I don't want to pray amiss. They must tell us what is the state of our area, because they know they've got the statistics, they've got the information. And a day before, I was reading a scripture and thinking, what am I going to share? Tell me, Father. And I was taken every time to the abomination of Gibeah in Judges 19, where a man cut up the concubine in 12 pieces and sent each piece to each tribe of Israel. So on the day of the prayer, I shared this, and I called the police after that. The police, the station commander of Khayelitsha, was quaking. And he said, are you a prophet? I said, no, I'm just prayer. I'm praying. I'm an intercessor. He said, it's the first time in my years in the police I saw a human head in a plastic, here in Khayelitsha, at your neighborhood, in a plastic in the lower part of the leg. After you were in a bus going around, few weeks later, a man called from Gauteng and said, come and arrest me. And we went to arrest him. He's cut up his wife into 12 pieces, into pieces, not into 12. And he planted the pieces around Khayelitsha. And that man has been sentenced to life. He's now in Paulsmoor. This is the power of prayer. This is what prayer can do. You know, even if I misplace some money at home and I say, I'm tired of looking now. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. Where did I put it? Show me. I will go straight to where it is and I will find it. That is the power of prayer. There is power in prayer. Hence, some governments, including our government, has taken prayer out of school. Because our government has taken prayer out of school. And when I saw the 10-point plan of Alice Bailey, which is the Luciferian agenda, then I started to understand all these things that the government is doing that are wrong, the corruption. When there is no prayer, they will not be detected. But the biggest mistake that our government has done, if they wanted to go take that route, was to take Chief Justice Mogoeng, because he's a man of prayer, and put him in that position. So everything got revealed because there is prayer. Hence, we pray for all the evil to come to the fore. We pray for all the evil. Just now, this week on Tuesday, we were doing all the coastlines. We came past here to Hermanus, praying, clearing after the Prince of England. Out of all, last year, 24th of September, he came here, he had meetings and meetings, and out of all the beach that we see, the beaches that we see, he went to swim at Monwabisi Beach in Khayelitsha. And I said, no, this is not, there is something about this. This is not at all clean. I am a Khayelitsha person. I'm born in Cape Town. I never swam in Monwabisi Beach. Not that I cannot swim. I grew up in front of a public swimming pool. At least I can swim. I'm not scared of water. But out of all these beautiful, you know, spots for swimming, he comes to swim in Khayelitsha. Tell us, Lord, what was his business? Why does he choose this beach? I need to know. I'm a watchman in this city. I will not let anything pass without asking you, my father. And then we prayed, and I said, Lord, if there is any evil behind this, because you know everything, if there is any bad motive behind this, let your will be done. I see now he's out of the royal family. I don't know how can he do that. He got home after all his tour, and he said, we're out of this. And only God knows. And if it's for the glory of God, let it be so. Because I'm not a judge. All what I do, I pray. So everything that I pray for, I don't condemn. I only say, let your will be done, Father. And if this is your will, let it be so. Amen. And thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Can we just stand? I would love Mama Tandi just to pray for us. Mama Tandi, 2 minutes, if you can just share what happened between the mother of the boy that murdered the girl, the two mothers. There was something beautiful that happened there. I believe in prayer God wants us to be those ministers of reconciliation.
Amen. This story really got to me. It really got into you. Okay. As a person who went to that family of the deceased, of the victim, with the police to go and give them the news, the boy that murdered the girl. So I got to know the mother of the victim. Remember, I know the mother of the perpetrator because she's in our prayer group. So the following day, I went again to that family and I said, I've just come to visit. How do you feel? What was strange, this mother of the victim, she said to me, my heart is for the mother of the perpetrator. And I was like, really? You know, it made me to think about my faith. Where is it at this stage? Would I be able to do this, honestly? And I said to her, she wants to come and see you, but she's very afraid. She's scared. She doesn't know what to do. She said, oh, please fetch her. No one sends the child to do the wrong things. So we went to fetch her, and they hugged and they cried together, and we prayed together, and they reconciled. And each time there was court date, the mother of the victim would phone the mother of the perpetrator, because they only tell the victim. She would phone her and say to her, we're going to court. Your son is appearing in court. Do you want me to come and give you a lift so that you can see your child? And she did that until the time of sentencing. When the mother was offering, the mother of the perpetrator was saying, you know, I'm a single mother. I have nothing. I know there's nothing that can buy your daughter's life. But I've got this little money just to help you to bury your daughter. She said, no, do you know what God has done? Someone has put my plight on Facebook. There's international monies come in. I cannot take your money. You are a single mother like me. And for me, it really took me to another level to make me to think, maybe I could have said, I'm not ready to see her now, but I forgive her. But this mother said, let her come. At the court on the day of the sentencing, you know those black card demonstrators, sentence the perpetrator must die, and so on and so on. The mother of the victim, she came out and she stood at the high court steps, and she said, if any of you know where are your children and how innocent are your children, you can continue doing what you are doing. But Dudu did not send her child. And those black cards dropped like the day of Jesus when he wrote down on the sand. Those black cards dropped, and that woman is continuing with her life. And I've seen another type and another quality of a believer that it made me to do a soul searching, deep soul searching, that I pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But do we mean it? Do we really mean it? Or are we just saying it like a chorus? Or are we just saying it because when something happens, will we be able to live what we pray? And that woman showed me how to live what I pray as a believer and as an intercessor. So faith is the key. Faith is the key. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, we come before you. We come before the throne of mercy, your throne of love, your throne of forgiving, Jesus, your throne of grace. Father, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray, Jesus. We need to pray earnestly. We need to pray sincerely. We need to pray, Father, every time. As it is written in the book of Peter that we are the moving altars. We are the living altars. Let the fire burn. Let the incense burn in our hearts and in our spirits as we move, as we live, as we work, as we do everything. Let your prayer not leave us because it connects us directly with you. We cannot break that connection. We would be like a cell phone without airtime if we're not connected to you, Father. We thank you for the open doors of heaven. We thank you, every person that is here that you know is in need, Father. I release your blessing over each and everyone's life. I release your blessing in this church. I will release your blessing in the area of Somerset. I release your blessing, Father, in everybody in this world. Let your blessing come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.